Blog Talk Radio.
Here on Blog Talk Radio, my name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, get some paper and a pencil or a pen and take some notes or write down any comments that you might have. And at the end of the ministry tonight, we'll give you an opportunity to share those questions or to share that those comments or ask those questions so that we can all grow thereby. So with that being said, I'd ask you to join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we can get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance take forth in this place. Because of your word, your spirit, and your love, live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, we're going to dive into prayers that avail much, part two. We'll do a little review and then see if we can go forward. So we here just want to know that the prayers that avail much is wanting to transfer and transform us and connect us in these lives that we have through the power of answered prayer by making you an effective saint. We stated last time that God has given us a pathway to guaranteed victory, a path that is unseen but traceable. It's intangible but yet sure. It's sometimes unheard but powerful. That is the power of prayer. Prayer has been known to be listed as communication with God, the Father of spirits. It is the pathway that gives us access into his system. And his system is spirit to spirit, the place where his word is exalted, his love is expressed, and his spirit is engaged. Where confidence in what he's already said is the anchor to our soul, and it steers us away from hurt and emotions, judgment, pride, revenge, from all fleshy responses. Fleshy responses can be offered up. People have offered up prayers in the flesh as long as man has been here. But they don't give any support, and it does not lead us to victory. Ephesians chapter 6 shows us a working battle plan. So let's just turn there. Ephesians chapter 6. And some of the things that we've done and heard and things that we've done in times past, you know, it's interesting that hear a truth, but then we don't try to understand why that truth might be there. And so then since we have connected ourselves in a fleshy way, my mom and my daddy did it this way, so we do it this way. That's not really the way that we should do it. We should let his word enter into our hearts, and then it will give us understanding. You know, the Bible tells us if you have faith, have it to yourself before God. So trying to live out someone else's faith is not something that God is wanting us to do. You do remember the seven sons of Sceva when they said, we adjure you by this Christ that Paul preaches. Come out the man. It didn't work out too good for them. The Bible says that the Spirit jumped on them and left them naked, wounded. See, so then we need to have the faith that God wants to develop in us, develop by us through his Spirit. Okay, so we can't just go, I don't even want you to go on what I say because I say it. That does you absolutely no good. According to the scripture, if you're going to have faith, have it to yourself before God. So you can't alter the things in your life just because I said it. It needs to be a revelation that you allow Christ to build on. That's why in Matthew chapter 13, you hear Jesus asked the question. He asked two questions. Who do men say that I am? And they say, well, they say you are, you know, Isaiah, one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, okay, now who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, because you said that, Peter, you are blessed. And upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church. Not just on the rock of confession, see, but the rock of revelation that causes your heart to be engaged and then your mouth to speak. See, it's got to work that way. And God set it up that way because, again, it is a guaranteed pathway to victory. See, the devil can't mess with it because Jesus said, upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against that. See, he's trying to give us entrance into the system that locks the devil out. And we can tell it does because Jesus walked in that system perpetually. And then the devil thought that he was going to destroy Jesus, even kill Jesus. And then after he did, it was understood that he said, it was not known that he was who he was, because if he had known Jesus was who he was, he would have not crucified the Son of Glory. He would have not done that. But it was a mystery that was hid in God and Christ. It was hid there. See, so then the same thing God wants to do is give your revelation a place in your heart where it is hid. He's not hiding it from you. He's hiding it for you so that you can access it, function within it, because that's where he said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. He's going to build a safe place. The name of the Lord is the strong tower, and the righteous run in and they are safe. He wants to build a safe place that you abide there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, we can have conversations that nobody else knows anything about. You'll ask what you will and it will be given you. See? And we just need to avail ourselves to that. That's the place where the prayers that we offer up, they will avail much. I mean, we should. I have grown tired of having futile prayers, or prayers, if you would, according to this title, prayers that just avail little. You know, sometimes we can come up with a prayer that makes us feel good and gives us a goosebump or two, but it doesn't bring deliverance. It does not garner victory. See, I don't particularly want those. I want prayers that avail much, that causes dunamis, working power, to be released. See? There are some things in my life I flat out need to be blown up, because that's what the Bible says in Isaiah 10:27. It says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. So I need to get some yokes destroyed. I don't need yokes broken. That would be good, I guess, but a broken yoke could probably be repaired. But a destroyed yoke, that's the end of that. See, I saw scriptures in Exodus, and I remember how he said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more forever. That was a destroyed yoke. See? For this cause was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. See, I'm not interested in massaging the works so that maybe today I feel good, and then I have to face that same thing tomorrow. See? A destroyed yoke is not going to come back to haunt me later. See? A broken yoke, maybe it will. See? A broken yoke, I might even fix. Come on now. See? I used to think this way, and so I go fix that yoke that was broken, and I start thinking that way again. I'm just like the dog that returns to its vomit. See? But when I get to the point where I understand the anointing destroys yokes, those are prayers that now avail much. See? God wants to smear his anointing on me. And see, when I get the anointing, the smearing of the anointing on me, then God protects the anointing that he smeared on me. And he says stuff like, touch not my prophets and do my, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. See, touch not my anointed. That's a better place. God's watching over that. See, so he has an investment in me, and he smears that on me. That's what anointing means. It's the process of the power of God that is on loan in my life. See? The anointing is not my anointing. The anointing is the power of God smeared on my life for breakthrough, so that I don't have to stay in the place that I was, that I begin to have a renewed mind. And then the things that used to hold me back, I break through that, and I end up in another place. I end up in that place of safety. See? He's the Lord of the breakthrough. Okay, so then I need to walk with him with that understanding. You see what I'm saying? That I need to know that God is so interested in me having victory, he gives me that victory. Okay? So he's interested in me walking that thing out over and over again. That I don't keep stumbling over my own lusts. Even over my own understanding. Didn't he tell me in Proverbs 3 that I'm not supposed to lean to my own understanding? That I'm supposed to love the Lord with all my heart. And then don't lean. When I reserve a part of my love for something else, I'm going to end up leaning. And let me just help you so that you would get the connotation there. Every time I have understood it, a lean precedes a fall. If I would stand uprightly, God's on the way for my deliverance. He will not withhold anything from them that walk uprightly. See? So he's wanting me to be sold out to him, not still dabbing my toe in the water to see if it's warm. See, we're not supposed to be like Gideon. Gideon fleeced the Lord. He asked us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. And then he will give us a way out, a directed path. Excuse me, paths. See? So then because I have the option of more than one path, then God is able to tell me secrets. See? Because every word of the Lord is tried 7 times. That means I have 7 ways for my deliverance to be actuated. And the devil doesn't know which one I'm taking if I allow that secret thing that belongs to me to be alive in me. See? He wants to do that. Now, sometimes we speak of things that we call testimonies. Generally, a testimony is after the victory has been given. Not me lying, saying God's going to do something that I've not committed to him. See? When I commit my ways unto the Lord, he will then cause my thoughts to be established. See? But if I'm still just kind of hoping and telling everybody God's doing this and God's not in it at all because I have not executed any faith, I do have a lot of hope. I can understand that. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith. It is not our hope by itself. And I understand that faith is the substance of things hoped. I got that. But see, hope that's not alive, you know, I might as well leave that alone. See, there's a lot of times that we just wish God would do something, but I don't have a scripture to stand on. See, I don't have a revelation to operate in. See, he says, you're blessed, Peter, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You're not getting this out of your emotional position. You're not getting this out of a lustful heart. You're getting this because there was a revelation, a word spoken from God to you, a rhema word. See, because devils have quoted scriptures, underquote, misquote, but they will quote scripture. See? And that's why Jesus had to tell them on the Mount of Temptation. He said, no, get thee behind me. I'm going to serve God, and him only shall I serve. See? I'm gonna do what the word says. I'm supposed to live by that. See? I worship him because he sent a word to me to heal me, to deliver me from all of my fears and from all of my destruction. I worship him for that. See? I don't question him. I don't need to ask him why is he doing it, because why would the thing that's made say to the potter, why have you made me thus? See, I said, Lord, you know what? My times are in your hand, so then I don't have to question you. I just trust you with all of my heart. See? And then as I do that, there will be a conversation. That's what prayer is supposed to be, a conversation. Okay? Communication with the Father. See? And he's going to speak things to you that causes you to be in a place of peace. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Okay? We're just going to allow him to give us some clarity in the understanding. I know we've all heard this scripture and quoted this scripture. I know that. I have too. But I did see something a little bit different that would take me deeper into what he wants me to do. See? No, I'm not the smartest tool in the toolbox. I know that. But I would like to see us walk in prayers that avail much. Not redundant prayers. I mean, you can just check your life. How many times have you over and over and over again prayed for God to do something that Jesus said is already finished? You tried to twist his arm to get him to move, and he said it's finished. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father until all his enemies be made his footstool. See? And that process does not happen because I'm good at what I do and how I say a thing. That process happens because I allow God to fight my battles. Didn't he tell us in 2 Chronicles 20 that we will not have to fight this battle, but we will be able to stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord our God who's with us? See, he's there to deliver. Glory to God. He's present in his word to deliver. One time Jesus was preaching, and it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Because of a word, Jesus was preaching. And as he was sharing words that were alive, rhema words, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal. But a lot of people that were in earshot of that word didn't get their healing because they didn't mix it with faith. They had hearts of unbelief. See? Because after all, it's never been done like this before. Never has a man spoke like this. So then, since I haven't heard this being spoken in this manner before, I have a hard time receiving that. See? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you disciplined by what you do. And then you will become intimate with truth, and the truth that you are intimate with will cause, it will make you free. Didn't say set you free. Again, the difference in those two words is one is to just place inside of a position. And then if you're placed in that side of a position and you don't live there, you're going to gravitate to what you understand as life. See? But if you live there, again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, see, if you live there, then you get the benefit of life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. And have that life more abundantly. See? You will have more life than you can ever face trials. Maybe I'll say that again. When you put your heart in the right position, you will end up with more life than you will ever have trials. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So then we have to ask a question, what are you saying? Because it's the word of your testimony. When you receive the deliverance, then your words are words of the testimony, not words of what you wanted to have happen and you're glad it did happen. Because he sent the word to heal you and to deliver you from all your fears, troubles, frustrations. See? From all of them. But it's the power of the word that was present to heal, present to deliver. But these people that heard, he could do there no mighty works because of their unbelief. See? God gives us an opportunity to enter into that rest. That's what he told us to do. Matthew chapter 11, he says, are you tired? Are you heavy laden? Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, and you will find rest unto your souls. Because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So come here. Do what Mary did. She sat at the feet of Jesus, and she began to listen. She began to learn. And Jesus said, that's the one thing that's needful. All this other stuff is not needful. You're troubled about a great many things, Martha. So how come it is both of them were in the presence of God, but Martha left troubled? Martha left with the same condition of heart and thought. She was troubled about a great many things. She didn't even take the time to cast one of her burdens upon the Lord. She was troubled about a great many things. And Martha found that place of rest. And Jesus said, that's the one thing that's needful. And that which she has, it will not be taken away from her. Mm-hmm. See, so somewhere there has to be a connection with the prayers that avail much and the response that life gives me before the Lord. See? We've got to get there, beloved. We are living in the last days. This is technically the last of the last days. Oh, you're going to start experiencing and seeing some great and mighty things, see, before the notable day of the Lord. We are there. We're in the days where he is calling forth his saints. Not just calling them out, but calling them forth. You have to come forth before we get out. You have to walk in truth before truth. Come on now. That was good, Lord. You have to walk in truth before truth delivers you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You have to walk in truth before truth can deliver you. You can't guess at truth and expect to get a deliverance. See? You do remember in the book of Acts, chapter 4, where it said that they took knowledge that these were ignorant and unlearned men, that they had been with Jesus. They took the knowledge from them. They understood because of the way they operated. They said, well, they first of all, they're ignorant and they are unlearned, but they have been with Jesus. See? You just have to be familiar and walking in the truth before the truth can make you free. If you're not disciplined by the truth then that you are undisciplined by has no freedom for you. Come on now. See? The devils know that there's a God and they tremble. Didn't get them saved. Because whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord, that's the one that's going to be delivered. How can you call upon him whom you do not know? Amen. Again, this Jesus that Paul preaches, see, they didn't know him. So then you end up in the same place without victory. Because there's no intimacy. Intimacy. Your eyes are still closed. And you're praying from a position of desire only. See? But not understanding. Is it not true that he wants your understanding to be fruitful? See? So then without a understanding that's fruitful, then you stay in the position of lack, the position of defeat. And he said, beloved, I don't want you to be ignorant. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. He doesn't want that for you. He's wanting you to come to the place where the word of God is revealed to you, and you stand in the power of that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and following. Finally, my brethren, this is the culmination of the whole thing. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And what is the power of his might? It is his word. He has exalted his word above all things. See? So then I need to be strong in the understanding that he's given me. For the entrance of his word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. With all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Be strong in the Lord. Finally, you who are in relationship, covenant relationship, he says, now just getting in is not enough. You have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See? A lot of us have been saved multiple years, and we still are going through the same things, fighting the same fight. I would say that our God is a God that does a quick work in the earth. See? So then how is it that we still go around the mountain over and over again when he didn't call us to go around the mountain? He said, here's how you can stop going around the mountain. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Without the armor of God, then I'm going to have to be dealing with and generally failing against the wiles, deceits of the devil. Because we'll pray a prayer and believe that we were not delivered, even though he sent the word to heal us and to deliver us. Well, it's going to have to be something else, God, that's going to deliver me, because the word ain't enough. Really? So you're going to say, well, give me a sign and the word. Then you're not strong in the Lord. See? You're still fleecing him, wanting him to do something, but not following the directions that he gave. You know, people cook, and when you buy a cake mix in a box, they put something on the side of the box that would help you with the cooking of that cake, the directions. They tell you exactly what to do to get the same results that they did when they made the cake. That's why they made the cake, so that you can buy it, so that you can enjoy the cake that's in the box, because these directions that you read on the side of the box give you the exact same victory, the exact same experience. It's called a recipe. See? Now, there are people that have changed the recipe and made things somewhat taste better or last longer, whatever that might be. But if you're trying to make their recipe and you don't have the instructions, you're going to have a hard road to hoe. See? There are recipes that have been passed down from generation to generation. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing, because each generation has eaten the fruit of that thing. See? I was in my mother's house, grew up there. I still don't know how to make a lemon meringue pie. Now, my sisters were taught how to make a lemon meringue pie. Good God Almighty, it'd still be good, because they have the steps that's necessary to reproduce what my mother did. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Oh, come on, yes, sir. He said, it's got to become personal. Just like David, when he was fighting, and Saul gave him his armor, and he said, go out here and beat this thing up. And David said, no, I can't. We ain't got no victory coming here, because I have improved this armor. Oh, it worked for you in whatever situations, but I can't go out there and try to fight in it, because I have improved it. See? So that's why he's asking us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He didn't ask you to be strong in the power of someone else's might. He didn't even ask you to be strong in the power of your might. He said, be strong in the power of his might. In case we got confused on who he was talking about, he said, be strong in the Lord. Then he says, so take his armor and put it on you, so that you will be able to stand against the wiles. When the devil sees this armor, he doesn't know if it's God or you in the armor, because God told you to put it on. Well, it don't fit me. That's why he said you can take the spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and then that fills up all of the gaps from your size to God's size. Because God inhabits the praise of his people. See? You praise correctly, and God fills up the armor and causes it to move the same way it was moving when the devil last saw it. Last time the devil saw that armor, he got the snot beat out of it, because Jesus went and he led captivity captive. So the devil ain't too happy about seeing that armor. So then when he sees that armor, you will then be able to stand against all of the deceits, wiles of the devil. See? And then because God gave you the ability to utilize his armor, now he's going to tell you some things about his armor. See? This is how we're going to end up understanding how to utilize prayers that will avail much. See, first thing I've got to recognize, understand, and execute is I've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, dressed correctly in his armor. See? And when you are in his armor, then you don't fall for some of these distractions that he's going to send you. He says if you got on God's armor, you do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So that right quick, that's a telltale sign to the devil whether or not that's God or you. Because if you got on his armor and you are wrestling against flesh and blood, that's not a good place to start. His armor is used to fight against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. So if you're going to put on the armor of God, and you're going to believe God for the deliverance that he provides because of that armor being given to you, then the first thing you got to understand is that you're not going to wrestle against flesh and blood. If you're placing the blame on somebody, you're not using God's armor because God's armor does not wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm taking the time to again, let you hear these things that come out of a word that is alive. See, so if you're going to use God's armor, then you will use it against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? I mean, that's just the way that it is. So let's just start something. If you find yourself cussing somebody out, be it known unto you, you are not using the armor that you tried to put on. Okay? And since you're not, you will not be able to stand against the wiles, deceits, tricks of the devil. See? You will end up in the same place of stagnant, inappropriate, and inactive prayers. Okay? And then what the devil does with that is he says, see, God doesn't love you, God doesn't care, and he's not going to work things out for you. Well, the primary challenge that you're having right now is that you're taking his armor, but you're wrestling against flesh and blood. See? You're going to be dressed right. You might as well fight right. He's going to tell you the who. He's going to tell you the how, so that you can have prayers that will avail much. Okay, we'll do another something that helps you with your flesh and blood warfare here. If I'm putting a deadline on it, I am fighting in the flesh. God stands outside of time and controls time, see? He's not moved by deadlines. I got to have it by this time. All I need to do is, okay, watch this, watch this. He says if I put the whole armor of God on, I will be able to stand against the tricks. Trick of thinking that I'm running out of time. How could I be running out of time if I'm fighting from the position of God's thoughts and God is not moved by time? So therefore, I ain't got to try to get God in a hurry, do I? Because one of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the increase of the Spirit is going to be the manifestation of love, and the manifestation of love is first one out to shoot is patient. See, if I'm going to put on his armor, see, we're going to see and understand how God dresses for battle. See? And so God is going to always, the Bible tells us very clearly in Romans, that you overcome evil with good. So if God is going to fight against the evil, he's going to use good to win. See? And pressure, because of time, is not one of the things that we should be fighting against. patience puts you in the position where I already know, I have confidence that God is going to do it. And since I have that confidence, I'm going to be consistently, constantly the same. That's patience. I don't have to get in a hurry to get, God, you got to do it today. I'm not fighting in patience. I'm not fighting in the spirit. See? So that's a flesh and blood response. That's not the way you win. It's prayers that avail much. The first thing that God asks us to do is to stand. The first step that you're going to take comes after a stand. If you don't stand, you cannot step. And let's finish that thought. One motion is not a step. If you take one motion forward, all you've done is went to another stand. You haven't taken a step. A step is to go from one position to another position in motion. That's a step. A stand is to go from one position to another position without motion once you get to that position. That's a stand. See? God's asking you to stand correctly so that he can get you to walk. If I'm moved by the enemy and I turn tail, then I didn't stand against, did I? So there's no way to have forward motion. I have retreated. That's what the devil's counting on. He's counting on us to give up on God because God is empowering us to stand against. See? But you cannot walk if you don't have an accurate stand. Let me ask you a question here. Have you ever heard how motion, all motion, both in the spirit and in the natural, is determined by your first step? See, then your first step, if it's off, then that first step will alter your destination. If a pilot of a plane plots a course from L.A. to New York, and if his measurements are off by 1 degree, that 1 degree times the distance of that known flight will completely cause him to miss his intended destination. And he can miss that destination by hundreds of miles. All he'll have is wasted gas, wasted effort, and wasted time. All because the step that he was going to make came out of a position that did not stand accurately. So then the devil says, go ahead, move. Did you have a proper stand? Then you will not have the destination that you have in mind. All because you are required to stand against so that you can use the power of the Lord to walk out your steps. Okay? So again, the first thing that we have to do is to make sure that our stand is right. He said stand in this passage of scripture. He said to stand multiple times. Okay? He wants you to stand so that you can have the right steps. See? He said, stand 4 different times. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you, this is the second time he's made reference for you and the armor of God to be connected. He said, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore. That's 4 times that he has mentioned the word stand. So that he's going to tell you how to stand. Okay? I mean, when you are fully dressed, fully clothed, then it really doesn't matter, according to this scripture, it doesn't matter what the enemy brings, because you will be able to withstand. And notice he said you will be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand there. So he doesn't want you running, moving, out of turn, out of time. Okay? So then he's going to tell you what is required so that you can win. Okay? If you have a step that puts you in the wrong place, if you have aught in your heart, okay? Jesus talks about that in Mark 11. As you stand praying, forgive. And if you're standing there praying, but you haven't decided that you're going to forgive, you have given yourself no opportunity to win, because your first stand takes you to your first step. See? And if you're not standing correctly, then you're going to go in the wrong direction. If you're not going to forgive, if you're going to blame somebody else, you're not dressed correctly. You didn't put on the whole armor. You might have put on some of it. Do you know that if you don't call unto the Lord out of a pure heart, the rest of it really doesn't matter? See, if you have an evil heart of unbelief, that's not the stand he wants you to have. See? He says in verse 14, to stand having your loins girt about with truth. See, this is the how you stand. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, he said, at any time. See? So if the enemy has you fighting against flesh and blood, then you find that you end up wasting time, you won't reach your destination, and you will be fighting the air, the Bible says. Have you ever seen a bullfighter in the arena with a bull? The matador has a red cape that he hides behind, and he moves the cape back and forth. And when the bull charges the matador, he swirls the cape over his head and makes the bull miss the target. That's what happens when we fight with flesh and blood. We get the runaround. We get tired. We get mad. So that the enemy is hiding behind distractions. You might want to write that down. The enemy is always hiding behind distractions. That's why he's the prince of darkness. He's hiding behind distractions, things done in the dark. He's wasting your time, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we're supposed to redeem the time. And here we are wasting the time. Because we're mad at this one, that one, this situation, that situation. So we are no longer, we're not dressed correctly, fighting the fight in the spirit, which means I would fight against the rulers of darkness. So we can almost literally translate that to the rulers of distractions. Okay? Because he's working things from a hidden position that would keep you from having the right stand, therefore the right step. You're off track from Jump Street. Okay? You're standing in the arena of his darkness and expecting to win from that position of darkness. Why, you child of light? Why would you do that? You can expose the darkness with the light. Jesus said, you are the children of light. Let your light so shine. See, I don't have time to really be arguing with the devil. See, I don't fight. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So the people are not my problem. I don't care what color they are, how old they are, how young they are. Flesh and blood is not my problem. See? The devil has been acting like a matador, giving me distractions, illusions. See? That's why God says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Again, the whole armor would have to include love. It would have to include patience. It just would have to include it. Because when I do that, here's what it says. Against such there is no law. There's no way for you to lose. Because I'm going to put on the armor. I'm going to be dressed accordingly. I am a spiritual man. So then I clothe myself in righteousness. Come on. See, that would be the whole armor, wouldn't it? First thing he tells us, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. So then, as I'm going to take the whole armor, I'm going to have to live in the truth. And I found it interesting. Let me just throw this out there. I found it interesting that when you look at this in the King James Version, the King James spelling of the word armor is different from the way we spell it. We spell armor today, A-R-M-O-R, but he spelled it in the King James for our understanding, for a battle use. He spelled the word armor, A-R-M-O-U-R, arm our. Get dressed right. Arm ourselves. Arm our. I hadn't seen that before. He says, be dressed correctly. Arm ourselves with truth. Having on, this is how you arm ourselves. You have on you have on truth around your loins. We arm ourselves with truth. Wow, let's just wait a minute on that note. We arm ourselves with truth. Let me help you out. 50% of all the trouble that you will ever get in life and have ever been in life, 50% of that is your fault. Amen. You are out of place. Whatever, you were mad. You weren't armed with truth. Even going back to some of the things that we wanted. We wanted it, and I desire. That's what it says. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. We're out of place. We're out of connection with God. So then we move. Every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, I'm still right there in the book of James. See? And when I'm enticed, then I end up, lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That's the way this thing works. So I'm in the wrong place. My own lust made me be enticed to go to a place I was never supposed to be in the first place. So then now when I get hurt because I'm trusting in somebody to give me what I think I would like to have, and they don't complete the process. And even if they try to complete the process, let me just help you out again. Lust is never satisfied. Amen. No matter how old you are, lust is never satisfied. Lust always wants more. Didn't he say to consume it upon your lust? Never satisfied. See? So then 50% of the things I find myself in, I was the one that went after those things. See? Okay, well, here we go. I even say some of the things that we see when you got child pornography prevalent. Well, you remember in my day, it was that the man was in the ice cream truck, and the lust of the ice cream caused you to be in the wrong place. See? If you could have just went and said, I'm going to believe God for ice cream, my mama, go take care of that because my mama hears from God. See? But that's not the way we do. We go after it. Next thing you know, we're in an unprotected place, and now we're in trouble. And then we're going to say, it's their fault. No, 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 no. Every man is drawn away of his own lust. It didn't say most men. Come on, y'all, help me out. I'm just reading scripture. James chapter 1, verse 13 and following. See, every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Every. See? So then, if I'm going to begin to process this thing, then I've got to be honest with how I got there. I have to tell the truth about how I got in this trouble. I can't blame them. Every man is drawn away of his own. See, I can't blame them. Okay? To have on the truth around my loins. And see, your loins are where your reproductive parts are located. So I keep reproducing the thing that I don't want because my own lust draws me away, entices me. And it says that when lust is conceived, it brings forth this sin. And sin, when it is finished, it's just playing with you. Sin is just playing with you. It only has a season of pleasure. See? It says, but when sin comes and gets through with you, when it is finished, then it brings forth death. It just holds you at bay till death can be understood. You're having your loins girded about with truth, so then you will continue to reproduce the enticements, the sin, and the death over and over and over again. Because if your loins are not girded about with truth, then you're going to continue to reproduce the lust, the death, the sin. You're going to continue. See? So then when you are functioning, then you have to have your loins girded about with truth. Truth in every confrontation. This is how we arm ourselves. Okay? We have to do this. We have to have our loins. It didn't say have on a skirt of truth. It says having. That's perpetual, isn't it? Having your loins girt about with truth. See? Not I had. See, that's what I was doing every day. I was taking off the full armor. He said, no, 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 Stevie. Having. If I come to you, this is the way you should be dressed. Having your loins girt about with truth. Okay? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. See? Having. If you continue to mess the thing up by going around in circles, okay, without understanding that God has asked you to flow in the truth, okay? Having the starting point of truth, okay? So when you don't try to deceive God and play the blame game, see? Notice what he said there. I mean, just turn over to Galatians 6. Notice what he said there. See? I love the way that God phrases this for us. See? He phrases it in a way that we should get. Verse 7, 6-7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He's going to reap what? That which he sowed. He's not going to reap something separate from what he sowed. So you got to have your loins girt about with truth. You can't blame them. Because he says, don't be deceived. Whatever a man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. For if he sows, notice this, he that soweth to his flesh, circle the word his right there. He that soweth to his flesh now shall, now circle this phrase, of the flesh. Wow. Before, he was dealing in his flesh. But when he sowed in his flesh, he now reaps of the flesh. Of the flesh has the connotation of more than just your flesh. That's why he said first his flesh. So that when you heard of the flesh, you will know that's multiples, increase. Okay? You now reap from everyone that sowed in their flesh because of the flesh. I never did deserve this. You sowed into your flesh and of the flesh almost everything in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom, in the spirit realm. It increases. God is he's a God of increase. So then he doesn't just increase He doesn't just increase the stuff you like. Let's look at it. Okay. If you sow to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Did you see increase there? If you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you will reap. See? He's a God that multiplies, increases. If you want hell, he will allow you to get more hell than you can handle. Because of the flesh, you will reap. Just want you to kind of see that. See, you didn't arm ourselves with, you didn't arm yourself with the protection that you needed. You armed yourself with the stuff that's going to cause corruption. And the definition of corruption is different from the definition from destruction. Destruction is almost imminent, quickly. You can see it and you can get away from it because you say, wow, that's not good. It's destruction. But corruption is like rust, and it happens a little bit over time. You might not even know it's happening. It's getting weaker and weaker and weaker due to corruption. Corruption is death in slow motion. Corruption is death in slow motion. Just like sickness and disease is death in slow motion. You might not know that it's going to happen the way it's going to happen because you still think you can handle it. You can make sure that it's going to leave you alone. But it is corruption. Where the moth doth corrupt. You don't eat all of it at one time. You go there in your closet, and the moth has been in there corrupting, and you see little bitty holes. See? You don't go in there and see a clothes hanger because the clothes have been ate up. Corruption. See? Because the devil does things that are under the darkness, the guise of darkness, so you don't see it. If you have a bullet hole inside your body, you can die quickly. That is destruction. But a pinhole that doesn't have the ability to heal would be corruption, wouldn't it? It's going to bleed a little bit, a lot of the time. Not a lot in one quick motion. Corruption. You've been lying. Okay, come on, y'all. Come on, come on, come on. You've been lying and you keep lying. Don't let that man be deceived because God is not mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the the flesh. You're going to bring more liars around yourself because you sold to your flesh and of the flesh. You got all these people around you that just don't tell the truth. They hide the truth in unrighteousness. Corruption. See? Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Just want you to see how we're supposed to be dressed. See? So the loins girt about with truth. You are reproducing the lies that you are accustomed to being dressed in. Whole armor of God. Flesh armor of yourself. Wrestling against flesh and blood. Then he says, the next thing is to having on, not modeling for one time, having it on. It becomes a part of, okay, when you get dressed and now we have underwear, things that we wear close to our bodies, see? And so he says, always have on the breastplate of righteousness. See? When you have your loins girt about a truth, you have truth in every confrontation. Be it good or bad, you have truth in every confrontation. Now he says that he wants righteousness to cover your heart. It's kind of interesting. The breastplate covers both your heart, the place that generates the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. It's the heart is the place that generates the issues of life, out of it. But so that you can make that the understanding that the heart is the power plant of your life, period. Can't get out of it. But this breastplate also covers your lungs, and that's the distribution center for your life. Because by your words are you justified. By your words are you condemned. See? Your words, as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See? Your words give you that. See? So we have to learn that our breastplate is going to cover both our heart and our lungs. So if you're spewing out the unforgiveness, the accusation, the judgment, okay, then those words are going to cause your life to be centered around the judgment. You're sowing it, you're going to reap it. So then righteousness should be in every breath, in every heartbeat. Righteousness should be found there. See? Have on the breastplate of righteousness. So you have truth in every confrontation. You have righteousness in every breath and heartbeat. Okay? And then he says, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he wants you to have peace in every step. Okay? Peace becomes my pathway, the one I must follow. He said, follow peace and righteousness. Follow it. Be established in it. Let peace rule. See? Again, let's finish with Proverbs chapter 4. He says, my son, verse 20 through 26. He says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst, in the center, in the tender place of your heart. Come on, y'all. If you have a hard heart, then things can't enter in, can they? So if they can't get in because your heart is hard, then you're going to live from the things on the outside, which would have to be flesh, wouldn't it? Keep them in the midst of thine heart, the center, soft position of your heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it flows or are the issues of life. And then put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. It's interesting that God always connects your mouth and your heart together. The way that we get saved is believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. Everything in the kingdom of God works that way. Your heart makes your mouth move. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See? That's why by your words you're justified, because that's what was in your heart. By your words are you condemned, because that's what was in your heart. They are life to all those that find them and health to all their flesh. It doesn't even matter what you're going through. When you say the words, he said that the tongue has the ability to release life. See? It has that connection. See? A soft word stops this process. See? It takes strife away from you, judgment away from you, keeps lying away from you, because I don't have to blame them while excusing myself, accusing them and excusing myself. I don't have to do that because the soft answer turns away that wrath. See? Notice who has to do the keeping of the heart. God doesn't keep that for you. When you have a renewed mind, then God will work on keeping your hearts and minds stayed on Jesus. Keeping your hearts and minds in the place where he can protect your life. Away from thee, a forward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Notice this here in verse 24 and 25. When you keep your heart out of with all diligence, because you know that the issues of life flow out of it, then you will also put away from you a forward mouth. Perverse lips you will put far from thee. And now your heart and your mouth, which is in alignment, deals with your eyes. Glory to God. Did you just see that? If you don't have your heart kept with all diligence, your life is jacked up, and your mouth is going to get jacked up. And then your eyes are going to look in a different place other than right on. Amen. You'll probably get to the place where you'll be looking at things that were done in the past. So when you're looking at things that were done in the past, you just abandon your future. Let your eyelids look straight before thee. Now you can ponder where you're going. See, you're supposed to have all of your feet are supposed to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So I can see where I'm going. Every step is supposed to be in peace. But if my eyes are looking because I'm mad at this, that, and the other, and I'm looking for revenge, then I cannot have my peace in every one of my steps, can I? See? I can't be pondering the path of my feet, and then I will not let my ways be established. I will establish them in the wrong venues. See? I mean, you can just see that this is what he wants you to be. This is the arm ourselves with process here. See? This is what we must do. If we don't do this, then we fall into the trap that the enemy has set, because we didn't do what he just told us to do. He told us to keep our heart with all diligence. Because my life is, well, let's start from the beginning. He says that his words are health to those that find them. They are life to those that find them and health to their flesh. And because I have health to, wow, 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 wow.
I mean, I'm just looking at this. He said, they're life to those that find them and help to all their flesh. So the part of my flesh that was gravitating towards sin, he said he can get that thing healed. Glory to God. And then because that thing is healed, now my heart is at the place where it can receive truth, and I can keep it in that place where truth operates in my life. I can keep it with all diligence because now out of a flesh that's been healed, my heart can be healed. Okay? Once I take care of my flesh, my spirit can then rule the day. But if I don't take care of my flesh, I will not allow my spirit to rule the day. Because my flesh can communicate to my heart the same way, in the same manner that my heart can hear the word of God and let it guide it. But I spend more time being mad than I do spend meditating on the word. So then my heart is not going to be able to, my heart does not have the word kept in the midst of it, so then it cannot cause healing to my flesh. So then my heart is going to be messed up going after things that are not supposed to be in my life. A sick flesh, flesh that is sick, will create a heart that is sick. Hope y'all see that. Flesh that is sick will create a heart that is sick. Then I will not have any ability to resist the devil because I won't put away from me a mouth that's crooked, a mouth that's hurtful, lips that are perverse. See? And my lips being perverse are going to look for that lust that is not satisfied are going to make my eyes look in the wrong place. So then I'm not thinking about where my feet are actually going. And my ways cannot be established. I'm going to be a wanderer. I'm going to live as a vagabond. Okay? Because I'm not doing what he said. He said, this is how we're supposed to arm ourselves. Truth in every confrontation. Righteousness in every breath, in every heartbeat. Peace in every step. Then he says, going back to Ephesians chapter 6, because this is how we're supposed to arm ourselves. I'm supposed to take the shield of faith because my faith is now my defense. See? I mean, you can kind of see how this thing just kind of rolls down. Rolls out. See? When I have truth in every confrontation, righteousness in every breath and every heartbeat, peace in every step, now faith becomes my defense because the just live this way. My life is protected, and then my faith that comes by the hearing of the word of God becomes my defense. See? And he says, now, since faith is my defense in this unfolding of the word of God, it says, now I'll be able to quench not some but all of the fiery darts. I'll have victory over every attack. See? The devil will not be able to push his will on me. I will no longer be taken captive by the devil at his will. See? Because the servant of the Lord must not strive. But here I am accusing everybody of hurting me and doing me wrong. See, at that point when I think they're doing me wrong, I've just entered into strife. And where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. But when I allow faith to be my defense, I'll be able to quench every fiery dart because now I'll have the right words to say. I'll overcome because I kept the words that he gave me in the midst of my heart. And it'll be health to my flesh, life, because I found them. See? Then he says, and then take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So if I'm not thinking right, again, when I do it this way, every word that I have in every thought, and in all of my speech will be as unto the Lord. It will be a wholesome tongue, the Bible says. So just like my heart is the manufacturing plant and my mouth is the distribution center, my spirit, the spirit of my mind, is the gateway. The spirit of my mind. That does not mean my intellect. See? That means the place where I have caused my heart to be in control, and now my mind, which is subject to my heart, becomes the gateway. Don't you say, bring every thought into captivity? Until it does what? Until it obeys Christ. See? I set myself up because I let peace rule. I let peace be established. Romans chapter 16, verse 20 says that the God of peace is going to bruise Satan under my feet shortly. See? If I don't have peace running, operating, then the devil's not going to be bruised under my feet. He's going to be running around all up in my legs or up in my body, and there we go. I'm in trouble. See? Peace has to be established. It has to be allowed to rule. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. This is the prophetic release for Jesus to come into the earth. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no throne upon the of no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice. So he wants to establish this. He wants to order this. See? Peace sets things in order, makes them aright, establishes me with judgment, understanding, justice, the right way of walking. But if I don't let peace be established, then I must be establishing something else. See? If I'm not going to let peace be established, then I must be, by definition, by default, I must be allowing something else to be established. And don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you establish, see, you're going to walk in it. You're going to live in it. See? He's asking us to bring our thoughts captive until they obey Christ. See? Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I have to have every word and every thought saturated with the word of God. And then that causes my speech to be saturated with the word of God. See? The spirit of my mind is the gateway. See? Now, because I have that, when this is the way I arm ourselves, see? This is my arm hour. See? If I'm not going to do this, then I'm not armed correctly. See? Let this mind be armed, he said. Armed. Arm yourselves with this mind. Arm yourselves. See? 1 Peter chapter 4, I believe it is. Arm yourselves with this mind. Arm yourselves. See? So then if I don't do this, then I don't have on the arm hour. See? And then since I don't have on the arm hour, I don't have the right clothes on, I haven't taken the right bath, see? Because he says that he wants to allow us to be washed with the water of the word. As I do this, then I'm able to bring thoughts into captivity. I don't keep going back to unproductive thoughts, unsanctified thoughts. See, I have disciplined thoughts. If you continue in my word, then are you disciplined? You're my disciple. The word disciples means disciplined by. See? Then he says that after I do this, my next step of how do I arm ourselves? He says, then I can pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, he said to be able to pray all prayer. See, so I don't always end up just praying the Lord bless me, give me stuff prayer, do I? How about the Lord sustain me prayer? Okay. How about the prayer where I can be an offering? Are we supposed to be broken bread and poured out wine? How about that prayer? We don't think about that. We just want to be, you know, the ones that has a reputation made of itself. And Jesus made of himself no reputation. Right? It wasn't about, Lord, bless me and exalt me. In fact, he said, if you will humble yourself, you won't have to pray the prayer of exalt me, because it says God will exalt you in due time. See? He's wanting to do that. He's the God of increase. But he's not the God of self. You are the God of self. Out of all flesh, he is that. See? But you haven't allowed your flesh to be converted. You don't bring that thought into captivity till it's ready to obey Christ. Then that thought, so that we can get it, there's a difference. Here's the difference to be made. If I don't cast down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself to the knowledge of God, I will not be able to bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that means that thought is going to obey you. Amen. See? So then, because it obeys flesh, flesh is going to be its destruction. Because no flesh shall glory in his presence. And he says, by always praying with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. So I have to be in constant communication in the Spirit. Constant communication in the Spirit. And then, now, watch what happens when these things happen. I mean, if you can just see it. Then when these things happen, my eyes are open. I can watch thereunto. See? But if I don't do these things, then my eyes are going to be closed, like it says in 2 Peter, chapter 1, that I will forget that I was once purged. I will be blind. See? I will not be able to see afar off, because I'm going to operate by wrestling against flesh and blood. See? I'm going to go back to the things. I revert back to that. That dog is going to the vomit again. I'll revert back to the things I did before I was purged. Then I stopped thinking about tomorrow and the next day. I've forgotten that I was purged, and I cannot see afar off. I can't see tomorrow or the next day. I only see and deal with my now. And right now I'm hurt. And right now I want to blame this one, that one, and the other one. Right now I'm suffering from the corruption that I've sowed into my own life. He says, watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I will observe to do. See? The word watching here is not just a looking for change in the situation, but it's rather looking for a change in our heart's position. No longer living by the demands of the mouth, but by our receiving in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Lust is not satisfied ever, so it will not be something that's operates in perseverance. See? The system that God put in place in prayer is that we talk to God in prayer and he speaks to us prophetically. He doesn't speak to you pathetically. He speaks to you prophetically. Watch. Turn to Jeremiah 33, verses 2 through 11. See, God speaks to us prophetically. Jeremiah 32, verses 2 and following. It says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that did what formed it to establish it. See? It's here so that he can bring to pass what he established it for. It was formed so that he can establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things that you don't know. See, he's speaking to us prophetically. He said, when you pray, when you call unto me, I will answer thee. And how will I answer thee? Prophetically. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the house of this city, concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which were thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with dead bodies of men, which I've slain in mine anger and my fury. But those, for all those wickedness that I hid my face from this city, behold, I am prophesying to you. I will bring health and cure. I will cure them. I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. See, he speaks to us prophetically. See? If I would allow him to hear my voice when I've got a heart that's pure and I call unto him and he said he will answer me and show me things to come. Holy Ghost job description is that he will show us things to come. He will bring to our remembrance what Jesus has said so that we can enter into the place where he can lead us into the truth. See? I will cause the captivity of Judah, the captivity of Israel to return. I will build them as at the first. I will cleanse them from all of their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. I will pardon their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and honor before all the nations of the earth. They shall hear all the good that I will do unto them. They shall fear and tremble for the goodness and for the prosperity that I will procure unto it. He's prophesying to us. Thus saith the Lord, again, in there, this place shall be heard, in this place, which shall be, which you say shall be desolate and without man and without beast, even the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and inhabited and without beast. He says, this is what I'm going to do, will be heard in that place, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts, for it is the Lord, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And of them that bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, I will cause them to return to captivity of the land, as at the first saith the Lord. See, when we are praying accurately, when we have allowed the armor of God, arm ourselves with the armor of God, he says, then you will be able to hear things that you don't know. He's going to show them to you. See? And there will be a the name of joy and a praise and honor and the voice of the gladness and the voice of joy and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts. The voice of them that say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Those that bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. See, this is the power of prayer, the system of prayer that God has set up for us. But again, he's waiting on you. He wants you to be able to enter into this joy, this praise. He wants you to be able to participate in this goodness. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. His mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. These are the things that are opened to us when we arm ourselves correctly. When we purpose that there will always be for us truth in every confrontation, righteousness in every breath and heartbeat, peace in every step, faith as my defense, victory over every attack, his word in every thought and in all of our speech, where we are constant in communication with the Spirit, observing to do what he reveals to us, listening attentively, knowing that as we pray to him, he answers us prophetically. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word that you sent to heal and deliver. Thank you for your word that calls us out of a mess and calls us into your rest, that establishes us in that peace that should be in every step. Thank you, Father, that as we allow you to convert our heart, to comfort our heart, to allow teaching to come to our heart that will raise us up from the doldrums, confusions, and frustrations, and will give us an inheritance so that you will be able to speak to us and show us great and mighty things that we don't know, that we would hear that voice of gladness, the voice of joy, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, that we would be those that bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that in our midst, even now. We commit it to you as done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is the Lord and Savior, soon coming Redeemer. We give you praise for that, sir. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Bless you, God. Well, there are any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? I'll give you an opportunity to share those comments or ask those questions. Area code 678-469-7930. You have the mic. Area code 678. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise him. Praise him.
I think the thing that stuck in my head was something you said. I guess I had read it a long time ago and wondered about it. And you made the comment about armor. A-M.
Yeah.
No, A-R. R-A-R-M. O-U-R.
Yeah, O-U-R. Yeah.
That's, I looked at that over and over in the King James, like, where are we going with that? I know that's something special.
Yeah.
And then you said it, and I was like, oh, okay. Our armor.
Yeah.
Our arms.
Yeah.
What a weapon.
Yeah. What a weapon.
defensive and offensive.
Both of them, yes. This is how you arm yourself. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being obedient, brother.
Amen.
Thank you for being
obedient. That's what we're here for. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You bless me every time I'm on.
Amen. That's what we
I'm grateful.
For.
I'm grateful.
I'm thankful, and I am thankful. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us here at livedeliverance.com. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here, then just go ahead and be obedient, because the blessing that he has for you when you do what's instructed you will take us to the place where we can enjoy good at his hand. because God is a good God that's interested in increasing us more and more. And when you sow out of a heart of obedience, out of a heart of thanksgiving, then God has said He's not willing that any should that He's not willing to do without a cheerful giver, but is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you will always, under all circumstances, have more than enough, be sufficient in every good work and charitable donation. That's the way our God wants to do it. So you simply go to livesdeliverance.com, look for the donate tab, and just give until the Lord says that's enough. Because that's the way we want our blessings to come back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We want them to be able to come upon us and overtake us till we are saying, Lord, that's enough. So until the next time that we gather together here on livedeliverance.com, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. So until the next time, be blessed.